Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I've got a big pinch for you in your Bibles tonight. Pinch it together. Now, in Pottawatomie County, we say pinch. Genesis 18 and Hebrews 11. That's a big pinch. And it really goes along with what Mark was teaching this morning. See, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. How many of you know it's never lost any of its power? See, it's called seed for a reason. Years ago, I read in, I think it was National Geographic, when they were discovering those vaults, maybe King Tut's or something like that, in the tombs of Egypt, you know, in the pyramids and the tombs of the kings. And they would bury all kinds of stuff with them, you know, gold and just a lot of things. But one of the things that they buried were urns that were sealed that had wheat seed or other kind of seed in there. And they'd been sitting there for 3,000 years, you know. So the question was, of course, if it had been open to the air, probably it would have rotted. But it was sealed well enough that when they opened it, it hadn't rotted. And they said, well, will it still produce? So they took some of it and they planted it. And you know what? It still reproduced. Now, see, my mind works funny. You know, I'm an engineer. There's a difference between analog copies and digital copies. Analog would be like a cassette tape. And you want to copy a cassette tape. So you put a cassette tape in one recorder and you hook up the little wires and connect it to another recorder. You play the one and record it. What happens when you do that? The quality diminishes. And every time you do it, it'll diminish. If seed was that way, since the first wheat fields back in Genesis 1:1, or Genesis chapter 1, if God was analog, by now you'd have to plant a Titanic worth of wheat seed to get a biscuit. But see, God is digital. Digital copies, there is no degradation, there is no diminishing. And God's word is like that. God's word is just as powerful today as the day he ever spoke it. He is a digital God. It will produce for you like you're the first person that ever received it. It has not diminished. It's not lost any power. It's exactly the same for you. It is as if God never said it to anybody but you. Now, that's really wonderful, Gary. God's word has all this power. Have you seen how non-powerful my life is? If that's true, Brother Gary, what is the problem? My life's a wreck. Well, Hebrews 11, let's start there. See, and really, Hebrews 11, it used to be probably my favorite chapter in the Bible. We call it the Hall of Faith. It talks about Noah and Abraham and Moses and all these people who conquered and did great things for God by faith, you know. And really, it was 20, maybe, well, a long time, many, many years before chapter 12 became my favorite chapter. Because as good as all that is, we can learn things from those people, all right? We're going to learn something from Sarah tonight. But it says in Hebrews, it says, God has given us something much better than them. Although we can learn from them, they're not really our pattern. Why? Not one of them were born again. Hebrews 12, it tells us the only pattern for us. Looking unto Jesus. He is the firstborn from the dead. He is the pattern for new creatures. Life of God on the inside. Wearing a fallen body from Adam on the outside. Now his soul was completely renewed. I like to say he was born nude. See, I have a teaching that I do it like once every 20 years or so, but it's called the unique mind of Jesus. This is why Jesus didn't have to pray in tongues, if you want to know the truth of it. People ask that question all the time. If it was needful, I'm sure he would have, but there was no need. There was no reason to bypass his intellect. See, Gary, let's take Gary. This is easy for you to understand. I got saved when I was 33. So my soul was... I had a sin nature on the inside of me for 33 years. My soul was taught what was right and what was wrong by a sin nature for 33 years. Plus, I had 33 years of living in a fallen world where everything in it is opposite. It's the flow of the world is opposite to the flow of God. My soul was trained by a sin nature and by observation in a fallen world for 33 years. So from the day I got saved, I got a new nature. I have a soul that's been, you talk about needing to be renewed. It has been taught lie upon lie upon lie compared with what God's word says. So that's why for God, praying in other tongues is a master stroke of genius. It allows us from the day you're just born, you're just a little babe in the crib, and you can begin talking and being taught by God himself, bypassing that mess in your soul. It's Holy Spirit to your spirit, and you can begin growing up. God prophesied a long time ago, I heard it many years ago, that the generation is coming where spiritual babies will be born with teeth. Quickly able to begin digesting the meat of the word. We've got some young people going, yeah, hallelujah. How in the world did I get on that? But our souls have to be renewed, see? And we're going to look at a really good case here now. Normally, I teach faith using Abraham because he's called the father of our faith. I love to teach out of Romans 4, how Abraham, when he was, him and Sarah both, they were about 100 years old. Their body's now dead. Yet they staggered, and it says Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. He didn't pay any attention to the deadness of Sarah's womb. He figured what God promised, he was well able to perform it. And I love to teach all that, and you've heard me teach on it many times, but we hardly ever talk about Sarah. Now, women, gotta be careful. I love a godly woman. I have a godly wife. I am very blessed to have a godly wife. She defers. She gives me her input. I tell you, wisdom for Gary is learning over the years more and more to appreciate how God speaks through Gary's wife and to listen when she speaks. But see, God's not going to hold Sue accountable for the decisions in the household when it comes to our walk with God. He holds me the head. I'm responsible. Now, the problem is women who start correctly molding themselves in that pattern, then they start trying to rely on their husband's faith. And God gave you your own faith. See, you can receive from God, single women. You know, you got, you know, it's not an issue for you. You know you don't have a husband to have to, all right, it's up to you. I better get to the verse. Okay, let's get to the verse. I want you to see how this is worded. I can feel it already. See, where is he going with this? Yes, sir. Amen. Okay, let's look at verse 11. Hebrews 11:11. That's an easy one. Through faith, notice the word also. Notice how this is worded so you can't miss it. It just got through talking about Abraham. Now it says, through faith also, Sarah, now notice, herself. So you can't miss it. Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged, why? She judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Sue and I have received several wonderful prophecies. Some have come to pass. Some have not yet come to pass. We had some recently that we sure want to come to pass. Has to do with rejuvenation of our bodies. Hallelujah. Why do you think I'm studying Abraham and Sarah? I can use some of that at age 64. Glory to God. So can Sue. But see, the thing of it is, you say, well, if God, religious people say, well, if God wants to do that, he'll just do it. No. How does God do things? See, here we go again, knowing God's ways. My people, they do always err in their heart. and they have not known my ways. How God does things, he gives his word. He gives you his word. And that word has image on the inside of it. The written word, you already have that, but then he gives you the specific word. Things specific to your life. You do know that not every 100-year-old man is promised to have a child in his old age. Now, see, I rejoice greatly about that myself. I love my children, but that no more. Okay, especially at 99, I don't want no more. You know, when that comes. All right? But what he does say to you, you know, like a prophecy, and then 10 years, 20 years, whatever goes by, well, that never happened. That was a false prophet. Well, prophecy. Now, look at it again. Through faith, also, Sarah herself received strength. Where did faith, in the beginning of this chapter, now faith is the substance. Where did that substance come from? Came from his word. His word, what the very word that God spoke to her, in that word, let's say it this way, in that seed is the substance. I have another lesson I teach once every 20 years. You ought to write this down if you don't already know it. If you have his word, you have his substance. The substance is in the word. That's why it's called a seed. Someone hands you a corn seed, there is substance in that seed of a whole stalk. It's all in there. You can put that seed in a, you can worship that seed. You can admire that seed. You can show it to everybody that comes in your house. You can leave it. You can make a nice little, you can frame it, you know, make a nice little something on your coffee table or hang it on the wall. Look at my seed. I have this seed. It has great potential. It's good for 20 years. And nothing will ever come of it. But does that mean there's something wrong with the seed? That seed has to be activated. The image has, you have to receive the substance that's in that seed. That means that it's got to be planted. It's got to be nurtured. It's got to be watered. It's got to, weeds. Trust me, the devil's going to try and grow weeds around that thing. You're going to have to, but you have a part to do to receive that substance out of that seed. Sarah had a part to do to receive substance, that strength. Look at it again. Through faith, also, not just Abraham, Sarah herself. I like how that's worded. I looked it up to make sure it's really in there. It's not in italics. It is. Sarah herself. Now, you want to know the good news? See, isn't that great about Sarah? Don't you admire Sarah for that? Let me show you about Sarah. Go back. Keep your place. Go back to Genesis 18. Let's look at Sarah for a minute. Now, starting 18:1. Says, and the Lord appeared unto him, that's Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now, who is it that's appearing to him? But now this time, notice how the Lord appears to him. And I don't know, I have a whole lot of answers for this. I'm sure others do. But he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. And after that you shall pass on, for therefore you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. So Abraham hastened unto the tent. Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter, glory to God, butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, now here's the part, we're getting into the Sarah part here now. They said unto him, now this, it's an unusual appearance, but it says the Lord appeared, okay? They said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? You reckon the Lord knows? Anyway, again, when God starts asking you questions, it's not because he's looking for information, okay? It's usually a teaching thing. He says, but where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, well, behold, in the tent. And he said, the Lord said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Now, Romans over there told us he's 99. Sarah is 90. 99 and 90. You got that? I like to say one old prune snuggled up next to another old prune. This is not a pretty sight. That's why Sarah laughed. Notice. Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She was not ovulating anymore. She's past menopause. There's no egg to even fertilize in her. Therefore, Sarah, what? What? Wait a minute. Sarah herself received strength. She didn't start out that way. That's the point. Now notice, she's as human as you are. She heard what God said, heard it from the lips of this appearance of the Lord himself. She overheard it. And she laughed. And her reasonings made her just think, that's so funny. A soul trained by a fallen nature, and all it knows is what it's experienced in the world. Well, since the history of time up to their point, no woman who had passed menopause had ever conceived a child. It was just impossible. You see it? All right. So Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? I love this next part. It tells you what she's thinking. My Lord being old also. That, so not only is it passed away of women with her, let's just say Abraham's not such a hot rod himself at this point. He've already had, anyway. So, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? You know, we quote this next verse all the time. I'd forgotten that this is where it is. I'd forgotten that it was in this story. The next thing that the Lord says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, I tell you, our natural souls have just been so trained by a fallen world and by the physics of a fallen world and by what we've seen, you know, and even in church. You know? And we're so, well, that's, I'm going to have a child. See, I should back up here and show you the first time that he said it to Abraham. Did you know Abraham fell on the ground laughing? Fell on the ground like, oh, God, you're so funny, God. You make joke with Abraham. You're so funny. God said, no, I'm serious. You're going to have a child. Out of your own loins, you know. What? Anyway, we're talking about Sarah tonight. I've done that before. He said, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And we're thinking, I'm 90. You know, Sarah's going, I'm 90 years old. I remember when I passed menopause. That's a while back. And my husband, we don't have mirrors, but I saw him in a pond. Reflection. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And we got to go, no. So he starts dealing with her. Now notice here. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And then notice, this should be helpful for you. First she laughed at the promise of God, then she lied. She did, look. Then Sarah denied. I laugh not. But me. For she was afraid. And he said, no. Nay. But thou didst laugh. The reason I'm laughing. We were at Jim Martin's church in Ohio. He was talking about some strange prophecies, he says. He says one time this guy called him out, brought him up to the front, made a big show of the whole thing. You know, this guy's a big prophet of God. You know? He says, here it is. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, he made a big production out of it. And freedom, you know, really amplifying the fact that he's a prophet, you know. So he brought it. And he's going, I am here to bring you the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord to you is, yeah, nay. That was the whole thing. Nay. I'm glad he didn't charge $300 for it, like some of them do. So anyway, he says, yeah, thou didst laugh. Now come on over here. Then we get into the Sodom and Gomorrah thing, the next chapter. We don't really tell much more about this. We get into the sin of Lot's daughters and how they got their daddy drunk and so forth. But going over to chapter 21. See, if we didn't have Hebrews here, it sounds like sovereignty. It sounds like God just did what he's going to do, even though she laughed. Because look at Genesis 21:1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. People, that's exactly what you want. You want the Lord to do unto you as he has spoken, don't you? He forgives all thine iniquities. He heals all thy diseases. He renews thy youth like the eagles. Don't you want him to do unto you exactly as he has spoken? See, you read this and it sounds like it's all God, but Hebrews tells us no. Through faith, Sarah herself, she received strength. She received the substance that was in the word of God. She did it. She did it. Not Abraham, not God. She did it. Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. God's word is seed. His message to you tonight, it's up to you to go to his seed. You yourself and receive what it is that's promised to you in his word. You can conceive seed, his word, yourself. What has he said to you in his word? What has he said to you in genuine prophecy? Not yea, nay, but real prophecy. We got a couple of words on this trip. Got a couple of really good words. And I remember we taught a series, you know, years ago. We were teaching about doing warfare by way of the prophecies. Remember when Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, make a good warfare based on the prophecies and that's been given to you. And I said, see, we're going to have to do that same thing. For these wonderful things to come to pass in our life, we're going to have to do like Sarah. We're going to have to receive strength. Receive it ourselves. She had a part to play. It's not written about her in Romans the same way it's written about Abraham. But apparently she followed those same steps. Who counted him faithful, it says, who promised. Well, that means she's going, well, okay, nothing's too hard for the Lord. I may have laughed, but if that's what the Lord says, what he's promised, he's well able to do it. And I'm not considering my own body anymore now dead. I'm not going to stagger just like my husband. She herself, through faith, she received the substance of that word. Glory to God. See, I'm remembering when Sue could have put her little finger, bless God, you never heard more of a prophet in your life. That day she come to me, she brought me the word of the Lord. Those of you that's been around here long enough, you know, how many years was that? 5 years now? 6 years? I don't know. But I was so attacked in my back, I couldn't straighten up. I mean, I walked like at a 45-degree angle. And a couple of times I was so, I couldn't even stand up long enough to do one of these services. So I preached it from a chair. I figured that's better than not preaching at all, you know. And Sue, bless her darling heart, she watched me and I have a good wife. I have a good wife. She doesn't preach at me. She doesn't try and be the head of the house. Okay. She gives me wise counsel. A lot of times I don't even really want her counsel because I know she's going to tell me what God said, okay? And I'm teasing when I say that. You know what? I'm reluctant because I already know that she's going to tell me to do what God said. But in this one, I was clueless. I couldn't step out of myself and see what I was doing. And my mouth, for some reason, I was just letting my mouth agree with all the symptoms. And I know better than that. And I was just saying wonderful spirit-filled things like my back is killing me. I'm telling you, if this keeps getting worse, I'm going to be in a wheelchair. I would just say what the thoughts that agreed with the symptoms, and I was getting worse. And bless her darling heart. Now, she come up to me, and she put her little finger right towards my nose. You know, and she didn't do it arrogantly, but it was firm. And she said, if you don't change what you're saying, the devil is going to put you in a wheelchair and steal all the rest of your ministry. Now, see, as I think about it now, I had prophecies, I had words before that event that had not yet come to pass about ministry and about other things, that if I didn't change my course and receive strength, those prophecies would never come to pass. Can you see that? And it wasn't up to God, and it wasn't up to Sue. Gary himself needed to receive strength. I needed to receive substance from the Word of God in order to whip that thing and let that power that's in God's Word work in my mortal body. How many of you know I'm not walking like that anymore? I have preached in Korea twice since then, overseas. That's an 18-hour flight. Now, and it's not first class. It's not one you say, oh, I'm glad when we finally get in the air and we can relax our seats. And so you're sitting like this, and they go, okay, now relax your seats. And you go, oh, that's much better, you know. About 2 inches, you know. Oh, that's much better, you know. I'm telling you, you know. I couldn't have sat on that 18 hours. Well, now we've gotten some new words. And I'm remembering this again. People, it's up to you to receive from God's word. Why do you think we talk so much about faith? Faith, Sarah herself, received strength. Now, in the middle of these two things, I skipped over Lot and I skipped over Abimelech. But let's go back. This is all within 1 year, all of this. Genesis 18 through Genesis 21 when she has Isaac. Which, by the way, do y'all know what the name Isaac means? Laughter. Who had the last laugh? I think God liked that. He says, I'll show you. I'm going to have the last laugh here. Just name him Laughter. I love that. Anyway, just back up to chapter 20. Now, 21 is where Sarah gives birth to Isaac. Look at verse 20, or chapter 20, I mean. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and journeyed in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, Sarah is my sister. And if you don't know it, that's not really a lie. She was his half-sister. And things were just different then. Don't be doing that now. We've had many, many generations since then. And anyway, but she was his half-sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Now let's keep reading so you see what was on Abimelech's mind here. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, behold, thou art but a dead man. That's not a good dream. Thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? And he said unto me, she is my sister. Abraham said unto me, she is my sister. And she, even she herself, said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. What was on his mind, though? This is just 2 chapters over from where God said to this 90-year-old woman who was laughing that I'm past menopause, I'm 90 years old, have you seen my husband? And within a year, she has received the strength. It's a literal rejuvenation, a regeneration in her body through the power of God's word. She received it to the point another king saw a 90-year-old woman and went, I think I'll add her to my harem right here. Now, God kept him from sinning against her, which means if God hadn't, which tells you what She was beautiful. This was not just a... she didn't look 90. I don't know how else to say it. It was a literal rejuvenation. A literal rejuvenation of her body. And apparently Abraham... Did you know Abraham got overhealed? Later on, after she, you know, Sarah happened to die first, Abraham remarried and had sons and daughters. It goes on and on. I mean, man got healed. Well, what's the point for us? Well, the Hall of Faith here talks about Abraham, Noah, Moses, all David, all of these people. They all received in various times, not only... They had their own version of the Logos. They had the written word. But each of them heard from God. They heard things, what we today would call a prophecy. You would call it I like to call it a present hour speaking of the Lord. And especially in our generation, where now you've been literally born again, you have a righteous spirit, a spirit literally born of God on the inside of you that is able to understand the things that are of God. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Now that we've been born again, now. You've not received that spirit of the world again. You receive the spirit which is of God. Why? So that you may know the things that are freely given to you of God. See, with us people, religion keeps trying to get us to do something in order to get blessed. Jesus never thought like that. Jesus... I remember that's one of the first things the Holy Spirit ever said to me. I was still in the trucks, and I thought it was heresy the day I heard it. He said, this thought never went through the mind of Jesus. And I'm waiting for the thought. And here's the thought. He says, what must I do today to get my Father to bless me? And it so shocked me because at the time, I was consumed with that thinking. I want to make sure I pay my tithes. I want to make sure that I pray. I want to make sure that I forgive. I want to make sure that I want to make sure I better pass out some tracts. And all of those things are good things. But I still had the mindset of an Old Testament person trying to do in order to be blessed. Go to Ephesians. We'll wrap it up here. Ephesians chapter 1. You know where I'm going. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here it is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, let me ask you, is that present tense, future tense, past tense? That's past tense, has. Today we would say he's already has done it. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, in Christ, what does that mean? You're no longer, if you're born again, you're no longer in Adam. You're in Christ. You are an heir, a joint heir with Him. It's not a matter of, what must I do today to get my Father to bless me? You have been born into the family that is blessed. And you have an inheritance. That's why Jesus said to us, he didn't say, go do it and the Father will bless you. He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. That sounds like a family to me. Trust me, my kids, of course I had girls, I didn't have any sons, but my daughters, they didn't grow. Now, in the beginning, you go through the whole law thing. If you clean your room, there might be ice cream. If you don't clean your room, trust me, it will not be well with you. Okay? You have to go through that. But once they got older and they're responsible, you know, they come to daddy's house, they just go to the refrigerator. You got any ham? What you got in there? You know? Got any cheesecake? What you got, Dad? You know? They know. They know that whatever I have is theirs. Would to God the church would know that. That's why he talked, whatever you ask the Father, in my name. Now, in my name means you've yielded your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not like, okay, whatever I ask in his name, he'll give it to me. Well, what I want a Lexus, I want a Cadillac, I want a Lincoln, I want a Rolls, and I want, what else is good? A Bentley. Okay, a Bentley, all right? And I want different colors, all five of them. Oh, in the name of Jesus. No, that's not what it means. That's not what it means at all. You're my Lord. Jesus, you saved me. I'm not living the rest of my life to my own will. I'm living the rest of my life for your will. I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to listen to what you have to say. Whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. You're my Lord, you know. And that's not just for full-time ministers. That's for the body of Christ. I loved how Red said that today. He'd come in there whining every day about his job. I hate this job. I hate this job. You don't know how many prayer requests we get all the time. I'm the only, and I'm going to say it that way. I try to be nicer. I'm the only Christian on my job. They're just so terrible. They play all that terrible music, and they tell dirty jokes, and they tease me. And would you please pray for me that God will move me to another job? And I always go, for the love of God, no. You should be honored that he would trust you to be a light in that dark place. He's trusting you. I like how Red said it. He finally had to change his attitude. He walked into that same place that he just didn't like. And he goes, I am the pastor of this place. In Jesus' name, I take ownership of this in the name of the Lord. Now you're starting to exercise your dominion as a king and as a priest. See? Amen? But it's a heart change. It's an attitude change. Boy, you start getting that attitude, and I'm going to be about my father's business here, whether I like this job or whether I don't. Now you start asking for things in the name of the Lord, and you'll start getting stuff too. Y'all getting anything out of this? Okay, let's finish up. Let's go back to Hebrews. I want you to see this again. I'd really like for you to say this verse or something, make a confession out of it. Put your name in there instead of Sarah's. See, I was telling Sue and I were talking about this right before I left to come down here. I said, I don't know if probably the Bible's not still being written in heaven. I don't know. I'm talking about the Acts. The Acts. See, I know it ends at a certain place, but I just got a feeling in heaven that the acts of the church are still being recorded somewhere. The acts of the Holy Ghost, you know, and what all is being happening. I said, wouldn't it be something if we get to heaven and we get to looking up? Where it says, Sarah received strength herself. Sarah herself. I said, what if later on we find out, and Gary and Sue themselves received what was promised them in the prophecy they received, and they accomplished in their generation what God called them to do. Write it like that. Take this verse, put your name in there, and start getting an image. Now, trust me, for the things that were in these prophecies that we recently got, we're not going to have a child at 100 years old. Thank God for that. But I'm telling you, there's going to have to be some big time change. We can't do what he said like this. I'm happy for this. Those of you that can't see me, I'm pointing to my body. I'm 64 years old. My body's about to learn nothing is too hard for my God. Because I'm going to have to be stronger, more energetic, and many other things in order to do what God's told me. Well, I want it to be written about Gary and Sue, just like I said a while ago. Gary and Sue themselves received strength in order to accomplish the word that God said unto them. And they finished their race. They accomplished what God called them to do in their generation. Amen? Amen? Let's read the verse again. Y'all know I did. I have to just stop, you know. Hebrews 11:11, through faith also Sarah, now notice herself, that herself is so important. You can receive a lot of things at this church. I thank God for the anointing on Pastor Dave. You know, I received a new heart that the world says still yet is impossible. There is no cure for what I had. They said I'd have to take that medicine until the day I died. Now, I received that anointing through Pastor Dave. But then I had a part to play, and I've told you about that, how I had to confess, and I had to pray and walk it out, kind of like what Mark was teaching this morning. I had to listen and obey God, and he weaned me off that medicine over a two-year process. But I'm telling you again, I took the last dose of that in May of 1998. It is now April of 2011, and I'm not dead. I haven't had any of that medicine that they say. They say if you don't take it, you'll die. Well, I haven't taken any, and I'm not dead, am I? No, I'm not. So, well, it's the same thing now. What's different now? I have received word. You've received word from God. You've heard God. Don't tell me you haven't heard God, either directly or through Dave or a real minister. Now, it's up to you. I thank God for what we can receive through anointings. I thank God. I've seen Sue received a new hip at this church. She had to walk it out too, and the devil came to steal it too. What I'm saying is God does his part. He's given us his written word. Then through prophecy or some other way in your own prayer time, he'll give you his right now word, his present hour speaking word. And the power to accomplish whatever he says is already, the substance is already in that word. But our responsibility is like Sarah. We have to receive that strength. We have to receive that substance so that what he said will surely come to pass. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. I'm going to listen to this message myself. Glory to God. That's good stuff. I want you to get that image now. When we all get to heaven, we open up that book of Acts and we find out. And they heard the word of the Lord. And they themselves received strength. And they accomplished the will of God in their generation. Get an image like that. Write that yourself. When you go home tonight, don't let your head hit the pillow till you write something like that about yourself. And then tomorrow, get it out. Yes, Lord, I receive strength. I receive strength. Amen? All right, I got to quit.